Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy, he is off for the week. He'll be back next Wednesday. A well-deserved vacation for my partner in crime, Michael Crude. Have a great time. So as such, I am your single devil host, Dominic. We're going to have some friends of the devils joining us this week. Tomorrow, I believe, I got Matt Rothschild going to step in for us. Joe Zepecki on Wednesday. Hell, we got James Santel on Thursday. Maggie Dawn on Friday. Lots of friends of the devils going to join us. But right now, our friend, Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct. Matt, welcome to the Devil's Advocates, man.
Thanks, Dom. Good to see you, my friend. Good to be part of this.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I appreciate you sticking around, man. It's been too long. Look forward to catching up with you. MF Direct, as I like to call it, Matt Flynn. Matt, we have an election coming up, man, 4 weeks from tomorrow. The soul of Wisconsin, this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. I have some pieces I want to get to. Daniel Bice laying it out once again in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But Matt, what's your sense so far? Obviously, Protasiewicz coming out of the primary looking pretty strong. How are you feeling about it right now, Matt?
Well, I feel terrific. I think Janet's going to do it. You know, she and Everett Mitchell together got 54% of the vote in the primary. And the two conservatives, they call themselves conservatives, 46%. And Janet got 46% on her own. She beat the other two of them anyway. So I think it looks pretty good. And she's been working hard. She's getting around the state. Her ads are good. And Kelly really has nothing to argue. The guy, frankly, is a retro. I mean, the guy is a throwback. I don't think anybody wants him. He lost once, and she's a fresh face. I think she's going to win, Dom.
I am also feeling pretty good about it. Dan Bice writing in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dan Kelly once said legal abortion promotes sexual libertinism and government assistance is stealing. I mean, talk about a throwback. A little bit from Bice, then we'll talk about this. Want to look inside of state Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly's head. These days, the former justice spends his time repeatedly criticizing his opponent, Milwaukee County's Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz, for talking openly about her values on hot-button political issues while he remains mute on the subjects. The two square off in next month's general election. But that wasn't always the case, writes Dan Bice. Between 2012 and 2015, Kelly regularly contributed to a blog called Hang Together, in which he laid out in detail, indeed long and windy detail, his conservative views on a number of topics. Abortion rights? Kelly said everyone knows this procedure takes the life of an unborn child, but he said pro-choice groups still favor making abortion legal. Why? To preserve sexual libertinism, or more bluntly, to let people have sex whenever they want. Ah, oh my goodness, the humanity. He said the push to allow same-sex couples to marry was about, quote, using the power of the state to compel others to legitimize the same-sex couples' personal arrangements. But that forced legitimization is itself illegitimate exercise of state power. So according to the wannabe former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, this is all just an exercise of illegitimate exercise of the state to what? Recognize and allow for gay marriage, you know, equality. As Bice writes, though, he saved his strongest words for the social programs that help the poor and the elderly. Now, Kelly, 59, was in his late 40s and early 50s at the time he wrote these posts, and they have since been deleted from the internet. Well, why would you delete these from the internet, Matt? First, Kelly suggested that America's welfare system is, quote, about as advanced as you can get without actually sliding into socialism. The country is, quote, stealing from working Americans and transferring the money to people who are, quote, allergic to the idea that there is a necessary connection between work and what it produces, unquote. Those being taxed to provide for the safety net are victims of involuntary servitude, meaning they're not allowed to keep the fruits of their labor. And who benefits, according to Kelly, Social Security and Medicare are for those who, quote, have chosen to retire without sufficient assets to support themselves, and welfare lends a helping hand to those who, quote, don't create enough to sustain themselves during their working years. So, Daniel Bice, you can check it out. We put it on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Matt, definitely a throwback. I'm not clear that anyone's surprised, but what's your sense on Protasiewicz, you know, letting people know where her values are in Dan Kelly's criticism of currently saying these things, but after the fact deleting these things from the internet? Obviously, he has a personal point of view, Matt.
Yeah, no, terrific presentation. And I'm going to say two things. One is the hypocrisy of Dan Kelly, but then also the legality of anybody running for judge, what they can say and what they can't. Let's start with the first one. For Dan Kelly, remember, he took $120,000 from the Republican Party for Pete's
literally
sake.
On the payroll, man.
He went around with Gableman getting $120,000 and he's going around sniffing out fraud. And then the guy advised on the fake electors how to do it. He got $40,000 after he announced to the Supreme Court. The last paycheck was in December. And on my show, I said, how do I know he's not getting paid right now?
Right. How do you know?
He doesn't have to disclose it. I mean, how do I know? Okay, so this clown, what, he hasn't shown his values by taking money from the Republican Party. But secondly, for him to say that people that want Social Security, it's because they didn't do a good job, say, hey, people pay into Social Security, Jack. They pay into Social Security, Jack. Republicans have been against this since 1935. Also, this other baloney that people on the other that want a woman and a doctor to decide, I mean, if she has an ectopic pregnancy, if, you know, her life's in danger or for any reason, that's somehow for sexual libertinism. I mean, he seems wistful. He seems yeah. never to have indulged. Or maybe he has. I don't know what he has. However, the real question, and you raised it really well, is what can judges say legally? Okay. Yeah. If they're running for office, they can't say how they would rule on X case, you know, Jones versus Smith. They can't say that. But they can absolutely say what their values are. Janet Protasiewicz says she's pro-choice. Okay, she's pro-choice. She says she thinks the maps are rigged. She's against gerrymandering. That's her value. She'll read the briefs and make up her mind in a case. But this other clown, you think he hasn't shown his values? I mean, you just read the blurb. And why do you erase it from the internet?
Right. I mean,
if you're proud of it, why do you erase it from the internet? So the fact is, he's done it in spades. She's done it in a very, very compliant, dignified way. And is it tax or false?
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Matt Flynn direct, sticking around for an hour, going to hang out with me while Crudy's out of town. Let's talk about this also. Molly Beck, also Corey Hess reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Apparently, Milwaukee Judge Janet Protasiewicz agreed to one televised debate and has turned down other public forums that voters have used to hear from the candidates for the state's highest court, including a debate that has been televised statewide in every Supreme Court race for nearly 30 years. Apparently, Protasiewicz will appear with Kelly on March 21st, for a debate in Madison hosted by the State Bar of Wisconsin, WISC-TV, and wispolitics.com. She and Kelly are also scheduled to meet with the editorial boards of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin State Journal. Protasiewicz's quote here, the State Bar of Wisconsin has a long history of conducting debates in this race, and we know this will be one great way for voters to hear from the candidates, her spokesperson said today. Matt, now, of course, you know, the right wing, the right wing radio, and of course, Dan Kelly criticizing Protasiewicz for not getting out there more. You know, my impression, she's in the lead. You know, why, you don't have to do these things, but she is doing one debate. Is that enough, in your opinion, Matt, for the public to get a sense of who Janet is?
I think it is. And I think what Kelly is desperate, and, you know, it reminds me in poker, you know, the winners laugh and tell jokes, the losers cry deal. You know, this guy wants to debate every day because he's no good. I mean, he's frankly no good. She has done a ton of joint appearances throughout the primary. And now there's going to be a televised one in Madison, and it's coming up. They're both sitting down with the editorial boards of the major newspapers. She's been around in every county in the state, talking to the bar association. Anybody wants to talk to her. She's very, very visible. What this guy is he has a failing campaign. Nobody wants the guy. Remember, he was never elected to anything. He was appointed to the Supreme Court by Walker, and then he immediately proceeded to lose. He desperately wants name recognition. He desperately wants to be recognized somehow. And now there are a lot of people in her position who say, I'm not appearing with you. She hasn't said that. She hasn't said that. She has said, fine, I'll do a TV appearance with you, but I'm not going to do one every day. I got my own schedule too, Jack. Okay. That's what's going on here. He's desperate. The guy's desperate.
It reeks of desperation. Certainly, Matt. You know, we talked earlier about the final results, 54-46, if you combine Protasiewicz and Mitchell's votes versus Kelly and Doro. There's been some concern. I've had some concern that perhaps if there's not, you know, an African American on the ballot, you know, that Supreme Court's looking pretty white these days, Matt. Do you think that that's going to be an issue getting black and brown people out to vote in this particular midterm the spring election, now that Everett's not on the ballot?
Yeah, you know, I think, frankly, Dom, I think that's a non-issue. I'm going to tell you why. Even in the primary, with him on the ballot, Janet overwhelmingly won Milwaukee. You know, in other words, I think there are a lot of people who really want to dominate this court and get it away, and they want to get rid of gerrymandering. They don't care who does it. And he's a very fine guy. He may run again. There may be other candidates. But she's our candidate, and I don't think anybody's going to be deterred from voting for her.
Lots going on. Very important race. Very important friend, Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct. Joining me, you can also join us on the lines here today at 844-967-2789. Matt, when we get back from the break, we talked about it last year. A third ethics complaint filed against Gableman. A third? I mean, what, the first two? What happened to those? Gableman, and we're still footing the bill. We, the taxpayers, for this joke. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Matt Flynn, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Our pal, Matt Flynn, Matt Flynn Direct, joining me for the Devil Hour. Matt, appreciate you doing so. I know I want to get to Gableman, but I want to kind of circle back a little bit here on this Dan Kelly and the dynamic going on in the Republican Party right now. I mean, hell, even the sugar daddy and sugar mama sponsors can't decide on who to vote for and who to donate to. What do you think this set portends? What does it say about the WIS GOP? This battle that's going on with them. I mean, certainly Dan Kelly announced a long time ago, and then what, Jennifer Doro, you know, caught that case and got some notoriety, and bam, she threw her hat in the ring right away. Matt, I mean, is the GOP, in your opinion, very concerned about Dan Kelly's chances here? And what does it say as it pertains to the greater party beyond that?
Right, good point. My information, and I've talked to some Republicans about this, yes, they are very concerned, but they point to a couple of things that most people aren't concentrating on. In the primary, Dan Kelly said that if Doro won, he would not endorse her. In other words, if she came through the primary and he didn't, he wouldn't endorse her. And the reason he said he wouldn't endorse her was really thin, weak. He said, well, she says she's a conservative, but what has she done? I don't know. She, on the other hand, when he won, endorsed him. And he was very, very kind of condescending about it. And that didn't sit well with a lot of folks. The second thing I point to is that some of the people that I've talked to, and they sort of say it obliquely, but they say there will be people who supported Doro who won't support Kelly. They will not support him. They don't like the fact that he wouldn't endorse her. They wouldn't like the fact that he condescended to her when she endorsed him. And they didn't like the fact that he is absolutely right wing and intransigent on abortion, even if the life and health of the mother are at stake. So I'm going to make a prediction. Waukesha County is not going to go in the same numbers for Dan Kelly that it has been for Republican candidates in the past. Washington County, which is more Republican than Waukesha County right now, will see some attrition. And Ozaukee County, especially, because that is a bedroom community for a lot of people with money who work downtown Milwaukee, definitely are not going to go for Kelly the way they have for Republicans in the past. But the thing for Janet is she has to win the thing, not just cut his margins, but bring the Democratic vote out. And one thing that I want to tip my hat to the folks in Dane County is that Dane County in the primary had more votes than Milwaukee County.
I know, dude.
More votes by 6,000.
That's crazy.
And Milwaukee's a lot bigger. But Dane County's turnout was 36%. Milwaukee's is 26%. And Milwaukee had a good turnout. You know, Dane County are absolutely, they are ninja warriors. Dane County are commandos. They get out and they vote. And so she has to maximize that and in Milwaukee, and I think she is. So I'm feeling very good about this race.
I mean, come on, Milwaukee County. You got to show up, man. Crudy's never going to let us live it down if Milwaukee County doesn't show up. We'll be hearing about it forever. But right. Yes, well done, Dane County. Look forward to greater turnout in 4 weeks from tomorrow. But the GOP split, is there in the state of Wisconsin, seemingly like there is nationwide, the mega versus traditional GOP kind of split? I mean, wasn't Walker Kidd at one point in the campaign for Dan Kelly?
Yeah, there is. And the Doro people, some of them have told me they're not voting for Dan Kelly. The second thing is this, though. I'm going to give you three names. I'm going to give you Paul Ryan, this Mike Gallagher from Green Bay, and this Tony, I think it was Eric Tony, who ran for the attorney general. They're Republicans, right? We don't agree with them on a lot of issues. But Paul Ryan said that if Trump is the nominee, he won't go to the convention. Gallagher called, you know, Trump's people and said, you got to stop January 6th. And Tony, who ran for attorney general, managed to squeak through because there were two election deniers against him in the Republican primary. Yeah. And he kind of mouths things, but basically he is a guy who I think is more of a traditional Republican. So the split in this state between those kinds of people and Voss and Gableman and a lot of the hardcore weirdos in the Republican legislature, which are gerrymandered, it's like commie government. Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge split, and it's going to continue.
Matt Flynn, direct joining me. You can join as well, 844-967-2789. So we had Dan Lenz on last week. He's a staff attorney with Law Forward. Law Forward, the law firm here in Wisconsin, filed a complaint, a third complaint now apparently, against Michael Gableman and his efforts to show what, some sort of fraud or voter fraud or something here in the state of Wisconsin, of which there is none. Matt, you were a practicing attorney. What does this mean? What was your sense of this complaint?
Well, yeah, I've looked at it, and it's what, 108 pages. And here's the thing that really frosts me. It really frosts me. We're paying for his defense. We're paying for his defense. For what? It's intentional conduct. Let me tell you a very elementary rule of law. Insurance company won't insure you if what you did was intentional. If your building burns down, they'll insure you. If you burned it down yourself, they're not going to insure you. I mean, it's as simple as that. This guy committed intentional acts. He insulted a judge to his face, falsely implied that a female attorney was going back into chambers on her own to see the judge and this kind of stuff. And it ticked the judge off, ticked the courtroom off. There's a lot of other stuff the guy did. Why am I paying for his defense? And why are you paying for his defense? That is not right. That is not right. And we have paid over $2 million. It's going over $3 million to defend this clown who leaves a trail of ethical bodies in his wake.
Oh, let's not forget, I mean, none of this would happen without the support, at least initially, of Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, who is now, what, he's challenging court decisions granting, you know, attorney's fees for plaintiffs trying to get, you know, open records requests. Right. And he's all concerned at the price of the attorneys, which are, what, less than he's paying? Hurry, his attorneys.
We're paying. He's not paying.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, folks. We are the Devil's Advocates. We are paying those attorneys. Come back with us, 844-967-2789. Matt, stick around. We'll be right back.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Our friend Matt Flynn Direct, sticking around. Matt, great to see you. You know, we've been talking about this, of course, very important race here in Wisconsin. Four weeks from tomorrow, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we could absolutely flip this. We could make this a less conservative court, and we would go a long ways to addressing some of the issues that we have, abortion, gerrymandering, et cetera. So make sure you stay tuned in and dialed in for that. Jenna Protasiewicz is the one you want to vote for. But these other ones, Dan Kelly's still in the news. As mentioned, Matt, he was on the payroll, got paid $120,000 between the RNC and the Wisconsin GOP, specifically for consulting, according to Dan Bice of the Journal Sentinel, to advise on the fake electors scheme, Matt. The fake electors scheme. Now, Dana Nessel in Michigan, the AG over there, she's dialed in. She started bringing some people into question Michigan's fraudulent elector slate. But Josh Call doesn't seem to be taking any action towards that. Matt Flynn, do you think that Attorney General Call should do something about that?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's funny because lately I have a kind of a nagging suspicion that there are going to be no indictments anywhere. And let me tell you why. The people that have been appearing in on the fake elector issue, on the insurrection and on everything else in front of Jack Smith, who's a special counsel that Merrick Garland appointed, came out of it and they said they got the impression that the Smith and Garland were looking to write a report, you know, like a book report thing, but not actually do anything. That was their impression. They could be wrong. But I point to the following. How long is this going to take? We have plenty of evidence. We've had evidence for a long time.
Yeah.
Trump continues to go up in the polls in the Republican primary. He's scaring DeSantis out. The rest of them chickened out. At what point, you know, what do you, in there's going to be a debate here in Milwaukee in August. In August, this August, and what, you're going to arrest him right after the debate and drag him out? They should have gotten him last year. So the state attorneys general, all of them, not just Call, all of them around the country, absolutely could indict and charge the fake electors. These people lied. They sent something in saying they were electors and they didn't. All of them deferred to Garland. Garland doesn't seem to be doing anything. If the state electors, the state AGs don't do something, nothing's going to get done. And I pointed out on my show last hour, in Georgia, the only DA that's doing anything is Fannie Willis in Atlanta. The Georgia legislature is about to pass a bill where they can remove her for sort of fake pretext. I mean, this is what's going on right now in the United States under our nose.
Yeah, I believe it was going from to recall a prosecutor from a 30% you know, signature rate to like a 2%.
Yeah, but there are two other bills that say the oversight board can recall her without any recall for what, you know, some misconduct, and that includes not prosecuting marijuana or abortion cases. So that's what's going on down there.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates, Matt Flynn, Direct. So it's your sense right now that in the states there will be no individual, unless Josh Call steps up and does something, that this will actually just be getting away with it, that there will be no repercussion, there will be no consequence for them. There'll be, I mean, you're talking about what a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who is currently running for that seat after being appointed and then losing an election by a lot, providing legal advice. He won't tell us what advice he gave, you know, lawyer client privilege, Matt. He won't tell us what advice he gave. As far as we know, it could be, and to my understanding, unconstitutional, illegal, fraudulent, and it's just going to, nothing's going to happen, Matt. That seems wholly unacceptable. I mean, what is to stop the next person or next group to try to do the same thing if there's no consequence to this action?
Well, yeah, there are two problems. One is, look at the fake electors. Andrew Hitt, a former chairman of the Republican Party, Spindell, who's a member, you know, he's on the election commission. Spindell.
Right now, he's still on the commission.
Yeah, right. And then an elected official up in Brown County, right? I mean, you know, those are three of them, and nothing happens to them. Now, if that occurs, and it's happening with Trump right now, he goes around saying, so indict me. What do I care? And everybody starts to look on it being political. You know, there's, you know, you can only cry wolf so often. Wolf, 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 wolf. There is no wolf. You're not going to do anything. Then they think, okay, well, this guy's tough. I mean, it's wrong. They should indict Trump. That has to be Merrick Garland. But we should indict the fake electors, and that should be the state AGs.
You mentioned Fannie Willis. Of course, when they released the report from the first grand jury, you know, much of it was redacted. She agreed to the redacted portion of it. But what she said was what? A charging decision would be imminent. Decisions are imminent, Matt. That was like 6 weeks ago. What does imminent mean to you, and what do you think the timeline should be? Now, you know, I have another grand jury. The process there is a little different. So, but the good news is they've collected all the data. They have all the accusations. They have all the witness testimony. They just got to bring a package and give it to the new grand jury. So presumably that shouldn't take too long. Do you have any sense, counselor, on how long that would take?
Yeah, I do, if they're really planning to do it. But here's the deal. The first grand jury, they have a special procedure down there, which we don't have. It was an advisory grand jury. And they came back and said a number of, they came up with some indictments, recommended. They didn't tell us who. Now the procedure is you immediately go to an actual grand jury. You don't have to call them in again. Just put the evidence and get a criminal charge. Remember something, Fannie Willis is getting death threats. She's getting death threats. And now she has a legislature that is going to orchestrate her removal. She has a lot of guts. She's the only one with any guts. And how long is she going to do to take? What's happening is when Garland and all these other people do nothing, August is going to be here before you know it.
Yep.
Trump will be on a stage in Milwaukee, probably at Marquette University, debating a few other hacks, Nikki Haley and Pompeo and a few hacks. And what? We're going to then drag him out. The police are going to arrest him right after. Are you kidding me? That begins to look like Asia or the Middle East or Africa or something. This should have been done in deliberately a year ago. The longer these characters wait, the less likely it is it's going to happen.
844-967-2789. Let's get to some callers. Mary from Madison, you're up. Welcome, Mary. What do you got for us?
Hi. I called Josh Call's office, and I asked his office staff when he when would he charge the fraudulent electors?
Mm-hmm.
And she said he doesn't have the power to do that. I said, then how come the Michigan AG and now the Arizona AG is investigating these fraudulent electors? So, I mean, what is Josh Call's job if he doesn't investigate and charge something as serious as fraudulent electors who tried to steal our election?
Yeah, that's a great point, Mary. What is the job? I mean, he was just recently reelected. Matt, thank you for the call, Mary. Matt, he was just recently reelected. Doesn't have to worry about that, right? I mean, Mary's got a great point. What are we waiting for? I mean, if nothing else, do an investigation, put someone under oath, ask them some questions. I mean, really?
Right, yeah. Look, I know Josh personally is a good guy, but in this one, all of those people deferred to Garland. Garland is obviously doing nothing. That's apparent to any lawyer looking at this thing. At some point, you've got to step in and charge these electors, fake electors. And Andrew Hitt is one of them. Spindell on the Election Commission is another. the elected official up in Brown County is another. And there are many, the others are officers in the Republican Party. If you don't do that, you give them a pass and you seemingly legitimize what they do. And I think that's wrong.
Matt, the RNC coming to Milwaukee, and I'm just, you know, obviously very torn. Of course, we want, you know, economic booms and whatnot, people spending their money, but I also don't want, you know, three percenters and white Christian nationalists marching down the street and hanging out in the bars until 4 a.m. And then you know, bringing this Trump circus. It is literally a circus. Matt, what are your thoughts about a debate here in August and the actual RNC coming? Do you think this is a great idea? And do you think Trump will eventually, obviously, there's a lot of variables, a lot of headwind for Trump, a lot of things going on right now. And I think as the days go by, it feels like it's getting closer and closer. But, you know, I've been feeling this way for a long time, Matt. What's the sense of will something happen prior to the August debate? And then how are you feeling about, you know, the 3%ers marching in Milwaukee?
Right. You really hit the nail on the head on that one. The debate is August and the convention is the following July. A lot of people in Milwaukee are going to put their apartments and houses up for rent for the week. They get a pretty good dollar for it.
Right.
But, you know, there's this unsettling feeling that I go walking downtown and I see Marjorie Taylor Greene and I see Trump sitting in Zarletti's or something.
Right.
What the hell is this? But the other thing that's written, and I'm being somewhat facetious, but the other thing is the 3%ers, the Boogaloo boys, the Proud Boys, they will come in and they won't be alone. There'll be plenty of people campaigning against them, demonstrating against them.
Yeah.
There'll be safe zones. And so I think that the Milwaukee Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, I think the administration over here are good and they'll do their best. But if Trump is the nominee, they will be held to pay in Milwaukee. Now, do I think it's a good idea? Nobody asked me. Actually, you get about $240 million in revenue. So yeah, it's a good idea. Every motel between here and Madison, down to O'Hare Airport, really, Sheboygan, that kind of thing, they'll all be great. But you know, you're going to see some very strange rangers walking around. You're going to see Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar, some very nasty individuals.
Well,
you're going to see some nasty people on their side, the CPAC people and all that. And you know, this is a democracy. I want it to be safe. Yes, it's a lot of revenue, but it's going to be quite a party in Milwaukee, especially July of 2024.
Yeah, and I get that, and everyone has to make their own decision on, you know, whose check do you cash, you know what I mean? And I can appreciate, you know, people struggling with trying to define it for themselves. I do the same thing. I don't want them here, but certainly not all of them. You know, some of them are fine, very fine people on both sides, apparently, Matt. But talking about some of the headwind for Trump prior to August, Alvin Bragg, we haven't talked about him, the Manhattan District Attorney. He just, you know, coming off of a pretty successful law conviction for a couple of the Trump Organization corporations, now looking into the Stormy Daniels payoff thing. Any sense of what might go on there? Is that also too late, too little, too late?
No, listen, he took a dive. He was set to do it when Cyrus Vance stepped down. He came in. They had Pomerantz as special counsel, one of the best prosecutors in Madison. Somebody got to Alvin Bragg. He took a dive. He said, no, we're not going to go forward with that. Now he's pretending to go forward as Trump is now building up steam for the Republican nominee. I don't buy any of that. Yeah, he got his CFO. Okay, terrific. He got his chief financial officer. But Alvin Bragg is not going to indict Donald Trump. He's simply not going to do it. He's going through the motions. I've seen him interviewed. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. And Garland's not going to do anything. Fannie Willis has a lot of guts. They're going to try to take her out in the Georgia legislature. And the state attorney.
Well, they would, even if they try to do that, Matt, that wouldn't happen prior to her, you know, making a charging decision. I mean, presumably that's imminent, right? I mean, it'll take them a while to pass something and actually get, you know, signatures to try to recall her. In the meantime, this will go forward.
Yeah, well, I hope it goes forward. But if they turn this around and yank her right now, will it go forward? They'll put a hack in there.
Oh, man, you're bringing me down, Matt Flynn.
No,
Matt
listen,
Flynn
I'm trying
direct.
To be realistic. This is Matt Flynn direct. I know this is, I mean, crude. It's also Matt Flynn direct. I'm telling it like it is. It's sad. It's very sad. Very
so,
sad.
Where do we pin our hopes for justice? Matt, is it Letitia James? Because that's only a civil suit. Even if she gets $250 million, that's not going to put the guy in jail. Well, that's not going to make him pay real consequence.
$250, his exposure is about $6 million or $5 million. It's a joke. No, we put our faith in our democracy. Joe Biden's going to get reelected, and we are going to shut Trump down. But we got to do it. We got to work very, very hard. Very hard.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. That's MF Direct. If you don't like what he's saying, he talked to Matt. Come back with us, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct. Sticking around for one last segment. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Matt, CPAC went on this weekend. And wow, what a interesting cavalcade of individuals up there at CPAC. One of the things Trump said is that we need to elect him. Of course, he's the one that can fix everything. And there will be no World War III if Trump gets elected, which makes me think. I haven't talked to you in a while. Foreign policy, the commie Ruskies and Russia and what's going on in Ukraine, our challenges with China right now. Let's start with China. Congressman Gallagher from here in the state of Wisconsin is the head of this new Chinese committee, China committee. It seems pretty bipartisan, people very concerned these days about China, but I didn't hear it, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It seems like, I don't know, I'm very reluctant to go along with what everyone's complaining or concerned about at this point, Matt, but I wanted to get, you've been around a while, man. I want to get your sense. What do you think's happening with China, and should we be concerned?
Yeah, we should be very concerned. And let me tell you this about that committee. I think that committee is basically a showboat thing to kind of elevate Gallagher, to give him some chops, to set him up for a Senate race or something like that. So, I mean, I think that was the motivation. Having said that, the Chinese have had our lunch for a long time, stealing intellectual property. We bring all these students over as students and so on, and most of them steal intellectual property or betray us. Now, the truth of the matter is that we have stopped letting some students in Red China, I'm talking about Communist China, who are with certain universities that are just subsets of the defense establishment. Right. And China complained, but they continue to steal our intellectual property. For a while, they required businesses that were doing business over there to give them their intellectual property, and some did it. It's the equivalent of giving them their patent or giving them their
if you
copyright.
Want to do business in China, you do business how we want you to do business.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Give us your stuff. Right. And one of the things they've done is very regressive. They had opened up. They had a capitalist economy. Now this clown Xi is going in and putting the clamps on and throwing businessmen in jail who he thinks might be disloyal to him. So I think we absolutely have to do a couple of things. One is shut down the theft of our intellectual property. Number two, they're buying up real estate near our military bases. We can't let that happen. Out in North Dakota, they're buying up farmland right next to our ICBM bases. And they can easily do espionage from there. They're doing it in New York City. The third thing is they've done this in Amsterdam and European cities, and they tried it in Ohio. They set up Chinese, quote, police stations, red Chinese police stations, to help with visas. But what they're doing is investigating people who are over here and threatening them and their families at home. And they even threatened a Chinese-American congressional candidate in New York. They are penetrating this country, and it's wrong. Now, we want Chinese immigration, but we want it from Taiwan. I mean, Taiwan is our friend. They're Han Chinese as well. They speak Mandarin Chinese. But the red Chinese, when they come over here, are simply here to steal and to spy on us. And that has to be addressed. I think that bipartisan committee is addressing it. I think the idea of putting Gallagher in charge was basically to give him some name recognition. Yeah, okay, yeah. Just so we understand that. But it's a very, very serious subject.
844-967-2789. Vicki from Burlington, you're up. Welcome, Vicki. What do you got for us?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Cootie. I have loved you from day one, and I trust you also. Now you're all over the place. I am so proud of you. You have no idea what you've done. You have no idea what you've done. And I just wanted to say it. And also, for everyone who says, you know, bombing in Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Russia and all of them, you know, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is what we've done. So let's not act surprised that we are a violent nation. I mean, we grew up in it. What's great is that we can do better. And I feel like you guys have really started it, and I'm so proud of you, and thank you.
Thank you for the very kind words, Vicki. Matt, to her point, certainly we are also stealing intellectual property, probably, right? We are also spying on other countries, right? And if we're so concerned about you know, the red China, as you would put it, well, then why are they buying all our T-bills, man? You know, if they dumped all the treasuries that they have into the open market right now, they could bankrupt us. So this is come on, man. My Apple phone, my MacBook, everything's, you know, all my stuff's made over there. You know, I'm still buying it. We still have trade with them. We're still dealing with them on all these different levels. Why don't we address some of those things?
Well, when you say address some of those things, we want our companies to have the benefit of their own intellectual property and not have it stolen. The Chinese people are great people. They're great people in Taiwan. They're great people in China. It's their government I'm talking about.
Sure.
Their government, listen, that country is 5,000 years old. And for almost all of it, except for a century, they had emperors whom they worshipped as a god. Now they have the head of the Chinese Communist Party, who's a constructive emperor. And he has absolute authority. They have a 300-member Politburo. And there's no personal freedom, no personal liberty. Hong Kong, which they took over from the British in 1997, used to have 60 million visitors a year. Now they have 600,000. People are afraid to go over there. They have a repressive government. And when they do come over here, they steal. They steal and they spy. Now, I'm an American. I'm a Navy veteran. Do we spy? Hell yes. Hey, so what? We're America. Let's put it in ducks and bunnies. We're good. They're bad, okay? I mean, communism is bad. Jihad comes in to kill us. You know, authoritarianism is bad. We are good.
Yeah, but if communism is bad, why is China making all the iPhones, man? And why do they have, you know, $1 or $2 trillion worth of treasury bills of ours? You know what I'm saying?
They have $1 trillion roffly in T-bills because it's good investments for them. Yeah, they could try to yank. They can't yank them. They could just non-renew them. They non-review them, and then our interest costs would go up, and they're afraid to do that. If we want to shut down, if we want to get into that kind of thing, if we want to sanction some of their companies, like Huawei and some of these other thieving companies, it would hurt them a lot more than us. We are the dominant economy in the world. We have a free constitution. We have the greatest constitution based on the Enlightenment of any country in the history of the world.
Matt Flynn, last 30 seconds, Russia and Ukraine, should we be more militarily involved than we currently are?
We should get Zelensky planes. We should get him 190-mile HIMARS, not 50, and kill as many of the Ruskies as we can in Crimea, in Mariupol. They're occupied right now. And get Putin has to be killed. And I'd like to see his own people kill him. He's a Nazi, and he's a genocidal sadist.
And he is Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct. I am Dom from the Devil's Advocates. Matt, thanks for hanging out, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Good to see you, Dom, my friend.
All right, folks, we are the Devil's Advocates coming back for the Happier Happy Hour and your calls, 844-967-2789.